price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Yeah, what's happening, everybody? What's going on? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum. It's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday. Now, you might be saying to yourself, Plum, what are we doing these Wednesdays for? What's the story with that? Well, sometimes things just happen to go that way. So it won't always be a Wednesday, but the way schedules are working out these days, you kind of have to, you know, take it when I can do it. I don't know, whatever. It's the way it worked out. So I apologize. Hopefully get back on the Monday schedule here on a regular basis very, very soon. But I'm glad you're here. I'm happy to see you, hear you, feel you. That was weird. I'm not really seeing, hearing, or feeling any of you yet. I mean, I'll see afterwards. I can see, like, who listened. But, like, I can't find out, like, now. But I do know because, you know, past production is indicative of future performance. And I know that we do have listeners. We have lots of them. Tons of them, actually. That's a good thing. I don't know why, because I just sit here and make jokes and talk food, but maybe that's the whole point, right? Anyway, that's all I got. Why do I use a transitional word? I gotta stop that shit. I know better than to use transitional words. I am a professional at this. You would think I would know better, right? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm Chef Plum. I am a father. I am a chef. And currently, I am a gentleman drinking a Moscow Mule with diet ginger beer. Hopefully, our guests will make fun of me for that tonight. And our guest tonight, someone I've wanted to talk to for a very, very long time. Mad respect for this chef, Michelle Ragusas is on the show tonight from Food Network Star and every other Food Network show. We have a very, very similar path, Chef and I. And I think it'll be fun to talk to. And I've heard nothing but amazing things. We have some mutual friends. But we've never crossed paths, but little does she know, we will be crossing paths at an event this coming winter. When's January? January's winter, right? At Mohegan Sun. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about more on her story at her restaurant. Her restaurant is kicking ass, man. I'm just looking at some of her items on the menu, Central House in Provincetown, which is just awesome. I wonder if it's cold there yet. That's on the very end of Cape Cod, so... New England, that's what I'm talking about. We have a night of food talk, a little bit of TV talk, more food talk, and of course, more food talk, because that's what we do on this program. There'll probably be a dick joke here and there, too. That's, you know, that's the way it goes. I hope you guys are having a great night tonight, a great week so far. Here on Hub Day, fuck that guy, here on a Wednesday. It's been a busy week already for me. I'll spend tomorrow in New York City again. Then I actually travel out to the Hamptons on Saturday to do an event. Did TV this morning. Our good friend Ryan Crisper was dressed up like a werewolf, which is always fun. And more importantly, we're talking more about the event coming up next Saturday night in Danbury, Connecticut. Food Fight presents October to Dismember. We've got two great chefs, Chef Carol Cody and Chef John Brennan, are going to go head-to-head in a culinary heavyweight championship match. It's not a battle royal, it's only two. But let me tell you what, there is no rules, no holds barred. These guys are going to go to town, secret ingredient style, a few twists and turns. Tickets are $50, includes wine, beer, and pizza from Planet Pizza. It's going to be a great night. We're really looking forward to it. I'll be there hosting, commentating, and doing what I do. Everything apparently these days but cook food. That's not true at all either, actually. But it's going to be a great event, man, especially for the Halloween time where everyone's going to dress up. It's going to be super cool, man. It's in a warehouse that my good friend Ergo Chef, you guys know Ergo Chef Knives. Mike and Scotty are going to help us out and let us use the warehouse. We're going to set up two makeshift kitchens. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm really excited about this event. It should be fun. And more importantly, we're raising money for an incredible charity called Your Exceptional Partner Service Dogs. They train service dogs for not just for, you know, people who are blind and people who things like that. But also these dogs are taught to recognize certain cues for people who have some mental illnesses. So it's a really cool charity, man. And honestly, $50, open bar and pizza. Are you kidding me? Like, who wouldn't want to go to that? You're going to dress up, you're going to see a crazy show. And I'm telling you what, when you find out what the secret ingredient is that these chefs are going to get, you're going to lose your mind, because they're going to lose their mind. It's going to be insane. We might try to do some broadcasting live from it. That's going to be on Station Head more than likely. So I'll let you know how that's going to happen. And if that's, so make sure if you're in the tri-state area, go to Eventbrite, check out my Facebook page. There's a link there for tickets. $50, an amazing charity, helping out service animals, training service animals. And it's going to be a fun night, man. It really, really is. We sold a bunch of tickets already. We're really excited about it. I've never done an event like this where it's not like a pop-up dinner or something like that. This is an event where we're actually kind of doing a show. And it's going to be that. It's going to kind of be like a Stanley Kubrick movie meets the old school, like, original Iron Chef. It's going to be fun, man. We're really excited about it. I'm still recovering a little bit from my insane cold that won't go away, so I apologize if my voice sounds a little strange. But it will come back to normal. Not that you guys are, like, caring that my voice is messed up, because why would you care? That's a stupid thing. Why would you care if my voice is messed up? Getting ready to fire up Restaurant Road Trip Season 2 here very, very soon. Those of you who are in the know as well do know that I shot a show for Food Network hosting, which should be a lot of fun. We'll find out what happens. We'll find out. And I hopefully can give more information on that, because that's going to be a lot of fun. It's me traveling, talking food, and who guessed it? Making jokes and being a douche, because that's what I do, right? I guess so. Anyway, tonight's going to be a great show, man. I'm looking forward to talking to Chef Michelle, talking all about New England food, because I love New England food. And being that I live in New England, it makes a lot of sense. So it'll be fun to talk to her. But before we get on that, man, I should call this the What's Chapping My Ass segment, because I spend a lot of time, most of my social media is predominantly on Instagram and Twitter. And we all live in a world of hashtags, where we hashtag things, and it's a way to kind of bring people together. It's a way for people to see what we're talking about and kind of joining groups, whether it's, you know, hashtag chef life or hashtag chef or stuff like that. And it's just, it's one of those things where I get it. I understand it. And people search hashtags, like, for instance, True Cooks, that started off as a hashtag. These things all make sense to me and they're great. What doesn't make sense to me is when you're B or A, or, you know, I'm trying to use like, the variable in an algebra equation, you're Chef A, or you're like the one guy in Star Trek. They're, all right, everybody gets the joke. So, but that's the chef that you are, and you start hashtagging your stuff, Chef A, and I don't understand that, because one, you look a little silly doing it, because no one's gonna look at that. No one's gonna look and see if that's the hashtag and try to find you. Not that I know of. That's why I never hashtag anything of my own. I just don't. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. There's no reason on a large scale I guess with Restaurant Road Trip, it did start kind of happening that way. But on a massive scale, it's tough to get a hashtag like that going. So I think with hashtags, number one, you got to stop hashtagging your name. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. You look silly. You look silly when you do it. Just stop. Don't hashtag your name. But what you can do is you can use hashtags. I think hashtags are important, especially when posting food pictures and things like that. And I pulled up here some of the top five hashtags in the world, I mean, I guess for social media in general. And it's funny, because one of the top hashtag when it comes to food for a long time was chicken, which I thought was hysterical. It's just to digress for a second, some of the hashtags I use now, like I'll tag things World Star just to be stupid. Another buddy of mine, a friend of the show, he would come on and he would tag Chef Jeff Ross, is who I'm talking about. He would tag things hashtag dance moms, which just cracked me up. I thought that was the best thing ever. And I told him, consider that corned beef, because I'm going to start doing it too, because I think it's great. But anyway, some of these top five hashtags that are important to use, I think, when you're putting pictures of food up, especially if you want to get the most eyes on them. One of the most used is food porn. Now, I don't know how I feel about food porn, because it just looks silly when you say that, right? Especially as a professional chef. Hey guys, it's food porn. Yeah, I don't know, man. But it does get a lot of eyes. It's one of the most viewed hashtags on any form of social media. Hashtag food porn. The fact that we use the term hashtag in our daily life is just crazy now. I don't quite understand that either, but we do. And that kind of sounds silly when I say it. But hashtag food porn, the top one. Hashtag Chef Billy is not. So if you're going to try to get some of the most eyes on a picture you're posting, hashtagging yourself isn't going to do it. Hashtagging food porn will do it. Another really popular one on the list is, of course, hashtag foodie, which I'll never forget. When I was on The Taste, the first season of The Taste, it cracked me up, man, because they wanted to call us all foodistas, like hashtag using the term foodie and then like something ista. And I told them if they called me a foodista, I would be very, very upset. And that's not exactly what I said. I said a few other things there, but I just don't think that really works. Don't call me a foodista. That's awful news. I don't want to be a foodista. Stop it. So they ended up not doing it. I think they said it once in one of the promos. But anyway, foodie is one of those hashtags that they get a lot of eyes on pictures you want to post. Another one here it says is nom nom. You know, that sound like nom nom nom. Like we're all eating delicious food. Nom nom. I mean, that's 10 million impressions a day, by the way, on that one. And on tweets per hour using hashtag foodie, let me find that, is 13,789 on average. It's even more now, I think. And then, of course, hashtag foodie tweets per hour are 48,646. That's insane. That's just crazy. Like, is there that much stuff to talk about when it comes to this nonsense? Do we really need to have that many 46,000 impressions an hour for the hashtag foodie? Yuck. I don't know. What are we doing? What are we doing? We got to come up with something better than that, right? If you want, shoot me a message and let me know some of your hashtags, especially nom nom. I don't want to use nom nom. I feel silly typing the word nom nom. I'm a grown-ass man. Why would I type nom nom? And ironically, I think it's great. Number on this list, number four, according to hashtags.org, their analytics, hashtag vegetarian, big hashtag when it comes to things. So I find that interesting because I guess vegetarians really do look up food a lot. They want to see more about their foods. To me, again, you want to get eyes on it? Don't hashtag Chef Billy, hashtag Chef Steve, or whatever the fuck your name is. Just use some of these names that people already use. I mean, if you don't mind typing the term nom nom, it gets a lot of eyes on it. You know, I mean, I hate typing it, but I mean, it looks like 10 million impressions a day with the hashtag nom nom. Finally on the list is, of course, hashtag snack. Which whenever I type the word snack or I see the word snack, I just feel like I should be eating a granola bar or getting ready to take a nap or something like, I don't know. It's just not my thing at all. But apparently it's a very popular hashtag. So there's that. So listen, the moral of the story is this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to use hashtags on your pictures, which get more eyes on them, makes total sense, but use things that make sense. Saying hashtag Billy loves chicken or whatever is not really going to be a hashtag that people look up. It's just not. Or hashtagging your name, it just doesn't work. Stop doing it. You look like an asshole. I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to teach you here. I'm trying to help everybody just be cool. I'm not saying that I'm cool. I'm a douche. But it's just the opposite, actually. I'm hosting a show called Uncool Food, so I'm not that cool. But that was a segue, and it was awful. Anyway, you guys, check it out. I am going to get a song on here. I'm going to get my cocktail in my hand because I am thirsty. I am going to get ready to talk to our guest tonight, the one and only Chef Michelle Ragusas. And she's going to hopefully kick my ass for messing up her name. I hope so because I deserve that. I do deserve that. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Please, if you get 2 seconds, you guys, do me a favor. Rate, review, and subscribe. It's big for the algorithm. You've already done some of that stuff, and I truly appreciate it. We're going to have a great time tonight. Looking forward to this conversation. I've wanted to talk to Michelle for a long time. And like I said in the open, I think we probably have a lot of mutual friends and heard nothing but great things about her. So looking forward to chatting with her. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. We'll be right back. In the meantime, while you're waiting here, why don't we check this out? One of my favorite songs here, Chris Cornell, Seasons. I'll be right back, guys. Stay right there.
Summer nights and long, warm days. Stolen as the old moon falls. And the mirror shows another face. Another place to hide it all. Another place to hide it all. Thank you.
There you have it. That's my DJ voice. Seasons, Chris Cornell off the single soundtrack. One of my favorite. Dude, we lost Chris Cornell. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it sucks. One of the greatest vocalists of our time, dude. I love Chris Cornell. He's awesome. Hey, check it out. Before we get moving here, I want you guys to know something. If you're looking for a brand new knife, and I love knives. Could you imagine that? I think we all love knives, don't we? As chefs, we love great knives. You got to check out Ergo Chef. ErgoChef.com. The knives I use every single day. Mike and Scott over there are making products. It's a great company. The knives are amazing. And check it out. You can get a great knife made by even better people. Go there and use promo code PLUM15 off to get yourself a great discount. That's right, discount. I'm like handing you money. I'm giving you money to go spend on things. On an amazing knife. These guys are great, man. Check them out. ErgoChef.com. The knives I use every single day. So now it's a weird transition because like I did like a read, but I should have gone to a song or something, but now I'm just going to keep talking. Anyway, check it out, you guys. Welcome back. Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Chef Plum. But you know that already because you're listening to me run my mouth. Tonight, I just had a conversation while the song was playing with Chef Michelle, who is awesome. I can't wait to get on here and tell stories about her. You've seen her everywhere. She's been on Food Network a ton. I think we probably have rival Food Network appearances, Michelle and I. But she was a giant, I became a giant fan of hers off Food Network Star Season 8. She's super cool. Her food looks phenomenal. And she's definitely an ass-kicking female chef in this business. Michelle, good evening, Chef. How are you?
What's going on, buddy?
That wasn't bad, right? That was a good intro. It was weird after we already spoke, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That was cool. Who cares? Whatever. We're chilling.
That's right. Right on.
Time to really chill.
That's right. Listen, awesome to chat with you here in person. I feel like I know you really well because we have so many mutual friends and I follow you on Instagram and follow your, you basically do like your day-to-day life on Instagram stories. It's hysterical.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's like food. And I don't know. I'm 47 years old and it's like all I've done. And I'm slightly obsessed with my dog, as everybody in the world knows. And so, yeah, I'm like a day-to-day. If I'm on the beach, I'm on the beach. If I'm driving in my Jeep, I'm driving in my Jeep. And it's nice. More of a, I don't know, more me than just food. And I love food, but I'm winding down on a season right now, so if I sound a little like, food.
Well, that's the way it goes, especially in, you know, I work out in the Hamptons a bunch in the summer, and season ended for me, you know, back in September for the most part. But, dude, you're so right. Yeah. You just get your ass kicked all day long, you know, and just it's nonstop.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I've been working seasonal, running restaurants seasonally for like, I'm going to say almost 8 years now, and I don't think I haven't had a summer in 8 years. Like, with no time. My friends are constantly like, we're going here, and I'm like, yeah, can't do it. And we're going here. Yeah, no. I mean, and I just had our buddy Chris Kyler come, and he was like, dude, how do you do this? And I was like, well, it's like 4 months of 13, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, you know, and you just kind of look like a wild animal by the time you're done. That's why I decided to grow my hair. I don't know if you've noticed.
Your hair looks great.
At the beginning of the season. Thanks. I was like, I'm just going to let it go because I don't have time.
Right.
And I'm going to see what it looks like at the end. And if I hate it, I will chop it off. And I'm kind of tired of being called Anne Burrell and Guy Fieri's love child.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Seriously, people say it. I know.
That's hysterical. Well, I tell you what, we both get that comparison. I get the Guy Fieri all the time. I've become buddies with him. He's actually been on this program, as a matter of fact. Great human being. I did grocery games.
Yeah, he's great.
I won grocery games, and then all we did for 12 hours was make dick jokes back and forth. That's all we did. It was the whole show, just he and I dick jokes.
Oh, my God, so funny. You know, I have a funny story about him. I met him way before when he just won Food Network Star, and I was actually living in Asheville, North Carolina, and he was doing, you know, there was some show, and I was at a food show at this hotel, and he happened to be there doing something for Food Network Star. And so, you know, I had the kind of same hair, and I was walking through the lobby, and I walked right up to him, and I was like, yo, guy, what's up? And he's kind of like, you know, who are you? Next thing you know, I'm drinking Jack and Cokes at the time, and we became buddies, and he was like, I'm so glad that you did not try out for Food Network Star, because you would have beat me.
Nice.
Or you would have gotten on. And I was like, you know what? Probably right. And then we were buddies after that, and then he tried to hire me to be his chef in a restaurant in Sacramento. And I just moved to Brooklyn. I didn't hear from him for a little while. And then he called me the day after I moved to Brooklyn. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I can't do it. Because I was really into living in New York City and did not really want to go to Sacramento.
Right on. Well, dude, I mean, California is awesome, though. I hear you.
It's awesome.
I hear
you. It's a rough thing when I go out there. I mean, I got some stuff working that could possibly be popping up in the L.A. area. And although I won't be moving there, I just, you know, every time I go there, I think maybe I could give the West Coast a try. And I'm
right.
An East Coast girl all the way.
Well, I have a feeling like you've probably been out. Yeah, but I mean, you've probably been out to L.A. doing like TV and stuff like that, right? That's how I've been out there, like doing TV. So when we go out there and do TV, it's fun. Like, we're not working. We're doing, you know, it's we have a different picture of probably what it is in real life to live a day-to-day thing out there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because think about it. We're filming and we're hanging out and then you get a couple days to chill with your friends. But I will tell you that the traffic is so stupid that I feel like people waste like 3 hours a day of their life.
Totally. Totally. Well,
and
it sounds like my life
I
now. I drive to New York City like 4 days a week. Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's 60 miles from my house. That doesn't sound like much, does it? But for some reason, it takes like 2.5 hours.
No.
I don't know.
Okay, so
it's
I'm
ridiculous.
In the process right now of buying a house in Kingston, New York.
Oh, are you really? I know Kingston very well, actually.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, you know, I mean, I know I'm the New England secret chicken, what everyone thinks, but this running of restaurants, of big restaurants, I've been doing it for now, I don't know, 25 years, like legit, like over 100 seats, almost every restaurant. And I'm so exhausted that I've actually hit a wall. And I'm kind of like, my love for food is disappearing a little bit. So before that happens, I kind of want to stop that, you know? And it happens. You're forced into making certain things that you don't want to make, even though you have full control, especially, you know, I live in a tourist town. I have to have a lobster mac and cheese. I have to have a lobster roll, things I don't want to do.
Right.
So I have been like, you know, doing a little research on the Hudson Valley. And I like the fact that it's only an hour and a half from the city, 2 hours, whatever. It's close.
Totally.
And it's like, you know, they're calling it the Brooklyn of the Hudson Valley.
Wow.
So
I'd like
to
that.
Do some pop-ups. Well, I mean, you know, maybe the very small.
We should come do a pop-up with me. I do them all the time. You should come do one with me. We kick ass.
I'll do one with you. I would love to.
It would be amazing. So I know the Hudson Valley very well. I went to school there. I went to CIA a long time ago. But I know that it's beautiful, man. Kingston's great. I mean, I love Rhinebeck. It's beautiful. It's a really beautiful area. And there's such amazing food there, farm-wise. And just, it's a great spot.
Yeah, it really is beautiful. And that's another thing. Like the whole, you know, I mean, I'm a big believer in your animal has one bad day and using really good product. You know, there's a lot of people, and I'm not going to diss all the big companies, but I don't use the big companies, and I try very hard to stay away from them. So, you know, as far as I'm such an animal lover. I get people all the time writing, how do you deal with being a chef? And it's hard for me, and I'm a Greek Italian. Well, I came out to it on me.
That's funny. So funny.
You know, for real, like, and I was born on Thanksgiving Day. Forget it. I was doomed from day one.
Were you really?
That was it. Yeah, Greek Sicilian Thanksgiving Day. You're screwed. What else are you gonna be in this world? A chef. I know.
That's great. I love that. I love that. Do people send you like birthday cards with Thanksgiving turkeys on them?
Yes, my dad brought my mom a turkey to the hospital when I was born.
Oh my God.
That's a legit story. So I was kind of like, I mean, I don't know. You know, I grew up. My father was making breakfast. While my mother was rolling meatballs and making gravy and stuffing breads and making chicken cutlets. I mean, that was my life. So it was just always about food. But we always went to the farm and we always picked up the eggs and we always got bacon at the farm. And I don't know. It just started out early that way for me. So it's really, you know, on my mind. And as I get older, I don't know about you, but I'm such an animal lover that it's really hard for me. I pick and choose what I eat and what I cook.
I like to know where it comes from. That's my big thing. You know, I really like to know where it comes from. And I'm a big animal lover too. I have a dog who's I have three kids and my dog. And my dog is like my big baby, you know.
What kind of dog?
He is a shepherd and Catahoula leopard hound mix. He's a rescue. He's the sweetest thing in the world. His name's Rocket. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah,
70 pounds of just, I think he's a lap dog.
Of love. Yeah, I got a Cocker Spaniel. His name is Maximus. I mean, he's like my child, right? Because I don't have kids. And so he comes to work with me because I have an office across the way. And he sits in the office during the day. And then I run home on my break, bring him home, and then go back and do dinner. And I don't know. It's just like, you know, I literally have to pick and choose. I'm like, all right, so if I'm not going to eat veal, I'm not going to eat veal. I'm Italian. I love veal. Right. But you know what? It's really hard for me. And
I agree.
It's
hard for me,
little
too.
Spurts. Yeah, how do you do it?
But it is delicious. That's the problem. It's delicious.
I know.
Yeah, completely.
I'm at a crossroads.
Maybe you should make a diary entry. Dear diary, today I'm trying to find out if I can.
What do I eat today?
Yeah, right.
I know. Right? Every day is difficult.
So I want to get back to, I mean, you grew up, I mean, you definitely came from, you know, like you said, you know, making food as a young girl when you were a baby, and just kind of food has always been a big part of your life. But this is a question I always ask. You know, people who have been on this program with me and who have done shows like Food Network Star, which I have a great story I could tell you, but probably not here. But when you do these shows, you know, I was on The Taste, the first season of The Taste, and you do these shows, and for me, coming back after the show, like readjusting back to real life, is really hard to do, and no one ever talks about that. Was it hard for you?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. It was probably the hardest thing I did. And,
right?
You know, when I did Food Network Star, I mean, because I made it to the final.
You hit the end.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was winning until, you know, Justin had to beat me. But I'd like to say I came in second. I mean, they didn't tell us the voting because America voted, but it was between three of us. And, I mean, I feel like, you know, I was pretty.
Well, can I be a dick? I'll be the dick and I'll do it. The air quotes, America voted.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought you should have won too, actually.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
That's
the hardest
thing. Ever since I saw you on the show, that's why I was like, she looks awesome. I love what she's doing. So sorry, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate it. So yeah, so when we came back, you know, you get picked up, you all of a sudden are lifted. It's like I always say this, and I talk to, you know, I'm still really good friends with a lot of people on my season. So
sure. We'll
talk about how it was like you were picked up, dropped off into this world where you know nobody, and you immediately are friends with these people by the next day, and you pick who you're hanging with, who you're not. You know, I mean, we were really, it's competitive, you know what it is. And then 8 weeks, 9 weeks, you're just, boom, done. Okay, you got to go.
And then you're back in real life. I'm excited. You're firing me up,
no,
too, but please finish. Yeah.
No, I get it. It's so hard. So there was a moment I was calling my friends and I was like, how are you dealing with this? And you know what? No one ever talks about, you can't carry your bags. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't do any, you can't go get coffee yourself. You can't do any adult things, right? And we're adults. You have to have someone walk you to the bathroom. You know, they call 10-1, hard ice, no talking, shut up. I mean, it's crazy. And then
you're treated like garbage.
Treated like garbage. You can't carry anything. I mean, I couldn't even carry my bag. So then after a while, you're kind of like, well, why am I carrying my bag? Can you get me coffee? You feel bad at first. Now what do you want me to do? You know, when you get that freedom moment, they're like, you can get your own coffee. I'm like, well, now I don't want it. Now I'm 10 pounds heavier.
Right.
Some chocolate and alcohol down my throat. And yeah, it was like, we were like wild caged animals.
That's exactly what it
and
was.
They
I mean, literally.
To do your best. But they keep you up all night. Our last day of filming was 21 hours, and the day before was 18.
Oh, good God.
I mean, what
almighty.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And
when you did the how long was that?
I can't even tell you. I sat in a parking lot, Chef, Whole Foods, for 14 hours, and we shot for 10 minutes. 14 hours. And get this, I'm the only motherfucker that had a mic on. And they're following me around, and I'm being stupid, stealing people's carts, and just being silly, and they didn't use any of it.
Oh,
after 14 hours of sitting there.
I remember
they got
when
so
I did the
shop, go ahead, you can tell it, go ahead.
They filmed me for 4 hours for 32 seconds.
Yeah,
on the
right?
Intro alone.
It's amazing.
But
it's
love
amazing.
Doing television. I love it. And I don't know if a lot of people like it or don't like it. And I like not just the fact of, like, doing TV, because I really like the camaraderie of the whole set, the crew. I don't know about you, but I have made some serious friends, like cameramen, crew people, producers, and it's just there's this thing where you're like, there's only a handful of us that do this. So
right.
when you go on a new show, like, you know, I did Food Fighters on NBC, and I was in the, you know, back before they were ready to call me out, and I hear this guy, Eddie, go, sure. And it was Eddie who was, like, the still photographer on my Food Network.
Awesome.
And, like, on four other shows, and I was just like, no way. And, like, then all of a sudden you look and someone else, like, Michelle, and they stick their head out from the camera, and it just makes you feel instantly like, oh, I got this.
Yeah, you just feel good about it, 100%.
I was
couldn't agree
for
more.
8 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because
it's
yeah, well, you get put into these situations that are, first of all, unreal to begin with. Like, you couldn't believe you're actually fucking there doing it. But you're there by yourself. And immediately, it's almost like the whole mentality of being in basic training, where, like, you bond immediately over the one thing everybody has in common, the fact that you're there. That's how it was for us in the Taste. I mean, I have great friends I still talk to from that program. And I walked into a bar. There was, like, this classic French restaurant, and that was at the hotel we were at. And, you know, nobody had money. And I walked in with a 30-pack of PBR, and I was throwing beers to people, and they tried to throw me out, which was awesome.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. I got to walk out. We couldn't even – I just did Comeback Kitchen with Chris Kyler, and when we got there, the only reason I did it was they were like, it's not going to be anything like Food Network Star. Like, you'll have some freedom, you whatever. The minute we got there, I swear to God, they put us in our rooms, and I was like, cool. I got a hotel room, my own room. I got a TV.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Give me
I
your
have
phone.
My cell phone. They walked in. They
you
were like,
to keep
your
phone?
Phone?
Oh.
No. They took my phone. The TVs were unhooked, but I managed to get that fixed. And they took our keys to our rooms. We couldn't even leave.
Yeah, fuck
we were
that,
like,
dude.
I was
I'm
like,
so
oh,
well,
no.
I'm
how
that.
Did I get into
no.
this? Yeah.
No. No. So, long story short, just because we're bonding here, I had the contract for season 10. Food Network Star, right? All the stuff's done. Here, you know, sign this and you're in. So at the time, I was hosting on the Hallmark Channel. I was hosting this thing for on the National Better Show, the All Recipe segment. Long story short, I had 2 dates left, and they were like, "You got to quit. You can't keep doing that. You got to quit." And we shot in January. It was supposed to be Food Network Star, and this was in December. And I was like, "Well, I'll finish my dates. I won't resign. Whatever. Good times will come on." And like, "No, you got to quit." And I was like, I'm not going to quit my job when, like, I'm getting paid to do this, like, half of what you get if you fucking win. No. And they tore the contract off.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yourself. Yeah. And so the funny part, the ironic part of the whole thing is, Chef, this is the ironic part. Hold on. So the show's all done. I get a call months later. Hey, can you come to New York and do some stand-in work on Food Network? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. It's a fucking free day. I'll go there, a couple $100, whatever. I go there. It's a stand-in for the Food Network Star finale season 10. And I'm standing in for the guy who won. So I won Food Network Star twice that day.
No
they
way.
Were, you know, isn't that ridiculous? It's the worst story ever.
Oh my God. That's crazy. You know, I'm not going to say anything bad about Food Network just in case they ever give me a job. And, you know, we will take it. I mean, I will take it. But it's just a lot of politics, you know. There are so
a lot.
Much shit that goes on those TV shows that you're like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I love making TV. Do you like doing it? I love it. I love being on camera. I love being live. I love, you know, I do Mohegan with Ryan, and I love.
And guess who else? We talked about this. Guess who else is going to be in Mohegan with you this year?
You're going to be there?
Me.
You're going to be there?
I'll be there. Yep. They called me like a month ago. Yeah, I'll be there.
It's awesome.
It's fun, man. I can't wait. I love doing stuff like that. But, I mean, between you and I, I haven't. And I tried to do it last year because I hosted a thing with Edible Magazine and the timing just didn't work out. But I really wanted to do it because I love Mohegan. And let's face it, I'm an alcoholic with a gambling problem. That's okay. We're not judging me here.
Yeah. I'm a gambler.
Hell yeah. I think we're going to have we'll have some alcohol problems too. It'll be a great time, though. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Sure. It's in January, right? Or something like that.
That is. Through like the 28th, and you know, I mean, I do a lot of food festivals, and that's like my favorite. They take really good care of us. It's super fun, you know. I mean, like, they give us really cool swag and gambling money, and you know, they put us up, and you know, they either fly you or limo you, whatever. It's just like 4 days. I don't think I even walk outside of that casino.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Hey, you know what I should get you in? Are you a hot sauce girl at all? Are you into that? This is really like inside baseball stuff, but
a what?
It's my show. Are you a hot sauce fan at all?
What's a hot ball?
Hot sauce, like hot sauce, like put hot sauce on shit and eat it.
Oh, hot sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you're telling me something I don't know. Yeah, I love hot sauce.
So I judged the New York Hot Sauce Expo, and you should come judge it with me because it's a great fucking time.
When is it?
April.
Dude, I would love to do it. Love to do it.
Boom. We'll make that happen. That's good times right there.
Hell yeah. No, that's another reason I want to be close to New York too, because I want to be close to the city again. There's a lot of opportunity, and I want to dictate my world how I want to cook my food and when I want to do it. I just want to do a pop up in a restaurant when it's closed and do it 2 times a month. Call it if I want to do some private parties, you know, whatever. I'm just tired of that whole running of restaurants. It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I started taking private clients in 2006. I haven't gone back since. Like, I was running hotels and shit.
Yeah.
And I won't go back. Like, I have 3 kids and a wife. Like, I want to see them. And, you know, I can do that. But, you know, like, I'm working out in the Hamptons this weekend because that's where the money is. You know?
Yeah.
So I'll drive out there and work.
Right.
It's good stuff. So, you know, I don't mind it, though. It's great. Private clients are awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's how I think. How old are you? Can I ask?
Of course you can. I will be 40 in March.
Oh yeah, I'm old. I'm way older than you.
What are you talking about? You're not that much older than me.
All right, seven years
is
a lot. It's almost 8 years. But, you know, you just get to that point. You're right. Where you just want to like life. I want like life. I want to like do some shit besides being the four walls of a kitchen.
Right. Well, that's what
and
I did. I was running a resort in Florida.
I haven't done anything.
Well, here's the thing. So when you do that kind of work, though, man, you really do, like, you learn a lot about yourself. You make some great friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've told everybody, like, everybody should work in a restaurant because you learn a lot about just, I don't know, just life. Like, it's just so many life lessons in the restaurant, you know?
There are so, it's like an everyday kind of life lesson.
Mm-hmm.
If it tells you anything about yourself, it will tell you your work ethic. I mean, you know, it's funny. I work, and especially where I work, it's very hard to get. You know, any seasonal town is hard to get good help. And so for me, I'm like, people call in sick or they're wasted or they get drunk or whatever. I haven't called in sick in 3 years. I'm there day in, day out. And even if I am sick, I'm not going to call in. It's just the way I am. So one thing I've learned is that, dude, can I say that? Oops, sorry.
You say whatever you want. Yeah.
Ass in the kitchen.
That's
I mean, like,
up.
And it's hard as a woman chef, you know, you got to deal with that. I tell a lot of girls, if you want to do this, you better love food. You better be super strong, super confident, super talented, and take no shit. Like, walk in there and man that kitchen.
absolutely.
Like, it's nobody. Yeah, you have to. Or else you'll
get I think what's interesting about kitchens that the world could learn a lot from, and I mean the world, I mean everybody, even this joke of a president we have now, and I'm not trying to get political, but everybody, when you work in a kitchen, if you're working beside me and we're doing 150 covers tonight, I don't care if you're black, white, red, purple, male, female, Jewish, Presbyterian, I don't care. Can you cook? Can you handle your station? Cool. Then we're soldiers. We're working together to make something happen. And, you know, I think I grew up down south, and that was, you know, it's just how it's always been. Like, you kind of, none of that shit matters. Like, I don't care. Like, this is what we're doing. And we have to accomplish this
goal. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter. You forget. There's no prejudice in there. The only prejudice is if you suck, get out.
Right.
Exactly. You can't handle it, you know? And it's your skill.
Because if you suck, then I'm going to suck.
Your attitude. That's right. And then we're going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I find it funny, you know? I mean, the television stuff. It's awesome, and I am very lucky. I think I've done like 13 TV shows now, and I'm blessed for that. And it gives me a voice now to do some charities and do some stuff. But I think it also is doing a little bit of damage because these kids are coming out, and all they want to do is be in Chopped, whatever, and immediately come out of school, and they're like, "I'm a chef," and I'm like, "You can't even stand up for 5 hours. You're earn your, you know."
I do a whole lot of preaching on this program to young culinarians. We have a lot of young chefs and young culinarians to check this program out. And It's one of those things where, listen, I've done Food Network 10 times. I've done so. I have my own show. I do all my own bullshit. But all of that is because I have 20 years experience working in this business. Like that, I didn't come in here thinking that's what I was going to do. That's a byproduct of the hard work that I've put in. I'm guessing it's kind of the same thing for you.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. And, you know, even Bobby Flay, I mean, he became a really good friend of mine. And he always said it to me. You know what? The TV will come. You're chef. Like, that's what you do. And, you know, it's funny because you go on these shows and half the people on the shows aren't chefs. They're like, I'm a private chef. Ooh, I'm a caterer. I'm a, so, you know.
Let's not hate on private chefs now, chef. Come on.
Well, I mean, no, I'm not hating on them. I'm about to become dog. But this is what I'm saying though. I'm saying people, women, okay, no, I can't even say women. Let me watch what I say right now. I am saying
no, go watch it. Just
something
say it's
to
cool.
be said. All right, for somebody, before you even say the word chef, you better have at least a good 10 years in a kitchen. Then go on and be a private chef, a caterer, or whatever. But if you don't get your ass trampled of, you know, 14, 15-hour days, don't use the word. I don't think it's like, I mean, you don't have the chops. You don't get the chops.
Right.
You don't get to earn the chops by going, I went to someone's kitchen and cooked for four people today. Cook for 150 or 450 or 650 and then talk to them. And do it well without getting anything sent back. That's my
And make sure every plate is perfect every single time. I'm totally with you on that, for sure. For sure. And, you know, I'm one of those chefs that a lot of people don't think the word chef means something, but I do. I feel like I earned that title, you know, and it means something to me. I don't like these. I had a lot of young people come and work for me doing gigs and things like that, in the Hamptons and shit. And they come and work for you, but I don't even, I'm trying not to be a dick here, chef.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Dude, we've been working for 3 hours. Why are you leaning on the counter? What are you doing?
Right. I do it. Sometimes I walk into my kitchen and I am a working chef. So when I see like my sous chef or my gals who have been with me for 3 years, and there's a lot of times I'm in the office, I'm doing work. But when I know that they're in the weeds, I'm literally like busting out a knife. You want me to break down ribeyes? I got whatever. I will do it.
Right.
I get a new guy who comes in. He tells me how he's this great chef. He's a pastry chef and he also cooks on the line. So I'm like, listen, you can totally take over the pastry department. I don't really, it's not my thing. We only have like four or five desserts. I was like, but you have to be my grill guy because I don't have anybody. And that's just how it's going to work here. And even pastry, he's like,
and
I'm
how did Chris Cowher take
chef.
That? Is he making great desserts? I'm kidding.
Dude, no, and the desserts, there's less. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You can have, I'm not kidding about the guy. Cause I'm not gonna, you know, but I mean, it's like, seriously, don't, I take the word seriously also. And what you can call me, call me chef, whatever. But I've busted my ass for almost 23 years now.
Amazing, right? Amazing. And to me, being called a great cook is not an insult.
No, I'll take it. I love it. Great cook all day long. But just in the chef world of like restaurants, I am there. And it took a long time to get there. And a long time to just like, you know, not take any shit and be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Badass.
I feel like you and I should go fight somebody or something right now. Like, I feel like we're really gearing up. I do. I get really into it.
And I'm like, rah!
I know. So I had a young guy come work with me for an event. This young guy came to work with me for an event. And I brought him on as just a, you know, come help me out. You know, I need a pair of hands. I'll pay you $200. Come work the event, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So we're there, and he goes, "Chef, when we're in front of the client here, could you refer to me as chef?"
No way.
What you just did? That's what I did. That face you just made. I didn't see you make a face, but I know you did. That's what I did.
That's
I said, dude, the door is right there.
I wish that all these young kids come out. All I want to say to them is, and you know, there's a lot of them, and I do love this. And it really holds no prejudice, you know. It's like we are this rough ass gang of pirates, culinary badasses, whatever we are. I mean, if you think about
broken
it,
band of pirates
and heat, and Yeah, it is. And so, and it's a good place for people who don't fit in to fit in. You know, there's
for
always
sure.
that. It's just, you know, the misfit world. It's there. It 100%. Was always that. You know, I remember my mother saying, she used to say to me, please don't become a chef. And I was like, what? She's like, it's just a bad job. You're on your feet. It's awful. And then when I was on Food Network, so she was living in Florida, and she called me one day, and she goes, the reporters are at my house. I'm famous. And I was like, oh, my God. Mom. Oh, my God. Did you still want me now?
That's too cool.
No. You know, it just happened to be the right time. But she was right in the way that, you know, your body hurts. And so I try and tell these kids all the time, you know, just really be into it. And there's a lot of ways you can make money in the culinary world without having
to sure.
in a restaurant. But I do
see but once you pay your dues,
for a little while.
When you pay
yeah.
your dues, it's also it's also incredibly rewarding, too. I mean, it really is.
I agree. I agree.
We're painting this picture,
even
but
the fact when somebody eats my food, and sometimes I'll stand and, you know, like in the back of the dining room, and I'll watch someone take a bite just to see them go, oh my God, or they go out to the table, and then I'm like, yep, yeah, I'm a creep. I am super creepy. They're probably like, why is she standing there watching me chew my food?
Why is she standing there at me just blinking uncontrollably?
It's rewarding, you know? Yeah, chef over there. What the hell?
That's funny. Well, we haven't even said your restaurant yet. You're the executive chef at the, let's see, let me make sure I say it right, at the Crown, at Central House, right?
Yes, Central House at the Crown and Anchor.
And that is, I mean, you're in Provincetown, which is like right on the very end of Cape Cod.
Yeah, dude, I'm like 80 miles out in the ocean.
Holy
what do you think about
then,
it? Really,
you live up,
like,
do you live there like full time or no?
Yep. That was it. Yep.
It's kind of
yes,
awesome.
I do.
That's
I mean,
cool.
It's really beautiful here. I do travel in the winter when we close. So we close, you know, we close December 2nd, and then we open for New Year's for a week, and then we're closed for like 9 weeks. And then February, March, April, super slow, like nothing going on. Just open a couple days a week. And then June, it's like from June to October, right, till like just as of 2 days ago, it was like nonstop. I just did a 7 day week. Today's my first day off. And then I'm back tomorrow for 4 days. And then after that, I'm off 3 days a week for the next 4 weeks, and then I'm done.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you're spending your day off, your 1 day off after all these days working with me. That's awesome. I like that.
See, that's so fun.
Makes you do it. So, yeah, right?
No, that's
well, are you going to go back for another season?
Well, I'm not really sure about that. And so since this is live, I don't know.
That was a really shitty question. Should we
leave it at that?
I should have asked that.
Let's just leave it at that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, seasonal work is cool because it's almost kind of like a country club or kind of like, you know, because you work your ass off when it's in season. But when you get those weeks off, that's kind of cool.
It is really cool. And you know, that's why I've done seasons so long. I thought it was really cool. And then I realized, wait a minute, here's what you're doing. You're working on I'm working in vacation lands. I was in Rockland, Maine for 3 years. I mean, it was beautiful. My restaurant was like 250 feet out on the ocean before you even hit the front door. And, you know, I had a little boat right down there, right on my dock. So when I was pissed off, I'd be like, I'm going for a ride. I'll be back. Ride around and be like, what am I mad about? The world is beautiful. I'm seeing seals are coming up to my boat, and I'm good. This is good. Then I realized, wait, I'm on everybody else's vacation. Everyone's on vacation, and I'm not.
Right.
And so it becomes really hard to work at a place where everyone's vacationing. That's one thing I definitely learned. Yes, it's good for the time off and probably good for young chefs, but it's really difficult to be in a place, especially like, you know, Provincetown is so busy that it's like, you know, I try and explain to people, you feel so claustrophobic here that if I was standing in Times Square at 5 o'clock, I would feel like I was in an empty world compared to here.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's how crazy. Have you been here?
So I've never been to Cape Cod and I want to go. And I told my wife, I was like, I really want to go to Cape Cod. And she's like, I know it's weird, right? I've never gone. I know.
Yeah.
I'm weird. I don't get it. I have a feeling it's a lot like Montauk.
Have you been to Black Island?
I haven't. And I know it's crazy because I should. I've been out to Fire Island, yeah. But I spent summers working in Montauk, like the very end of Long Island. You know, I'm just trying to think of other islands.
It's very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. From what I've been told, I mean, amazing seafood, just amazing produce. I fell in love with it last summer. Like I was gone 4 days a week from my family, but God, it was amazing. I just had the most unbelievable, like, access to such crazy stuff that I'd never seen before. It was awesome.
Yep. And that's what it's like here. You know, it's pretty, I mean, it's insane. Like just today I was out walking my dog and there's like mushrooms popping up everywhere right now. Cranberries. Yeah. All over popping up right now. Cool. The seafood is stupid. I was on the beach today and I actually put an Instagram video. I was like, if I had my little pocket knife, I could have just walked around shucking oysters and eating them.
They're just all over the beach.
So, it's awesome and super fun. But, you know, at the same time, I'm kind of ready for some rivers, streams, waterfalls, mountains. I could use a little bit of that.
Yeah, but then there's like mosquitoes and stuff.
I mean, there's mosquitoes everywhere.
I didn't want to burst your bubble too much. Like I was.
Yeah, don't burst my bubble.
No, I get it.
Don't burst my Kingston bubble.
Yeah, Kingston. It's interesting you chose Kingston. That's funny. I mean, it's a beautiful spot in the Hudson Valley. I had a sous chef for a long time who was from Kingston, actually, who was with me for a long time, and he loves the area. He goes back all the time. But it is beautiful. Hudson Valley is a great spot, man. It's a great spot. Now, go ahead.
No, I chose Kingston because it was just recently written up at Vogue, and it's really getting to be a little trendy. So
yeah,
I
think you're right.
Now before it gets too trendy.
Before it gets
get
too
in
trendy.
Like,
that's
get into that pioneer. I want to start things now before I'm like, all right, this place already, you know, kind of did that here too. I like to go through starting to. Pretty crazy, and then you know, make a name for yourself.
Get mad at it
and
leave.
Challenging, yeah, and then be like, "All right, I'm out.
I'm out. We haven't talked about your funny food TV stuff on YouTube, which I was checking some of it out. I'm a giant comedian fan. Like, it's a whole thing for me. It looks great, man. It looks really, really good.
You know, it's so funny. So I was doing it. I did it last year. And I haven't worked on it this year because one, we were spending money, a lot of money on the production. And as you can tell, we had a full on film crew and the people, the comedians were super funny. There were a lot of drag queens from here and a couple people from New York, and I love doing that stuff. So I'm hoping that now that that's another thing too. The other restaurants, so much can't do anything. So now I'm hoping that I can get back to Funny Food TV. I have some people interested in that. And I'm just going to really focus on, like, you know, doing what I love, which is making shows and teaching people how to cook and doing Funny Food TV and, you know, just kind of enjoying life a little bit.
Well, we live in a weird world now. You know, when you and I first were doing the TV thing, that was what you did. But now it's such a digital world with so many people don't even have cable anymore, and we all have, you know, Apple TV, and just there's such different delivery methods of stuff. Facebook just put like 125 million, or maybe it's more than that. I think I've run the numbers in my head. A shit ton of money into doing their Facebook TV thing, which is incredible. And there's so many different outlets for things that we should definitely talk, because I can probably, I don't know, I might be able to help.
Yeah.
So
I would love it. I mean,
so
that would be great. I got to tell you, I'm out of touch with it now because I literally, and you know, I keep going back to the working so much, but when you work so much, I don't really have time to even pay attention to it. So like, and I do have a couple friends who, you know, I don't know if you know Celebrity Paige and Sonia, I forget her last name. She's my buddy, but you know, and I have a guy who was doing that. Celebrity Paige became big, and then he was talking to me about this whole digital stuff, and he's like, I really like to brainstorm with you. I really like the Funny Food thing, and I'm like, I don't even know what these people are talking about. What's this digital thing?
Well, it's
really
amazing.
Yeah, I could use your help there, Plum.
Well, we do Restaurant Road Trip, and I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but we do this whole thing where it's you know, which by the way, we're going to start shooting again soon. If you can make the trip, you got to come and shoot one with me and hang out, because we had such a great time. And Ryan's there, and it's very funny. But we shoot it, like, it's very cinematic. It doesn't look like, it looks awesome. But you know, we've been approached by some different things, and it's funny how you do just a local program like that and it does really well. I mean, we'll get 60, 70,000 views on these things. It's insane. And wow, you start getting approached by people. I know, right? It's nuts.
Yeah,
and all I'm doing is making Yeah. And being silly. And so there's just so many different outlets for stuff, man. It doesn't have to be TV anymore, but you know, I don't know if you heard in the open, it's not a secret. I got contacted by Food Network and I shot a thing with them, and it's a whole, they're probably going to move forward with it, which is awesome. I hope so. That's great.
Yeah.
There's more money there.
But,
you know, it's funny because once you start doing that though, you start signing your life away, and that's the tough part, you know, which I'm sure I know for a fact.
Yeah. Because you really
you
do sign your life away to them.
I had
know.
The contract. I know. It's sick. It's ridiculous. And, you know, you do.
Show, but, that's good. Congratulations.
We'll see. Nothing's set in stone yet, but it's a concept that they had. So no one's pitching them. It's their concept. And they asked for me specifically. So that's great.
Ooh, that's
I
awesome.
Guess. They wanted
good for you.
They wanted a big guy with blue hair. So that's me.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
Well,
yeah,
yeah,
I'm
love
so.
That. I mean,
I'm so sketchy on those things because I've had my knees cut out so many times. But you know, it's
oh
just
my
the way
god,
it goes.
Me too. You know, I did this pilot with Food Network. They sent the crew. We did this whole in Maine, shot the whole thing. Then they said, "Nah, we're gonna hold on it." And then FYI got a hold of it, and then they called me and they were like, we'd love it. And I was like, no, you know, it was this girl, Audra, who worked with me on Food Network Star. She's like, I was like, no, you don't love it. She's like, I'm like, you didn't even see it. She's like, I'm watching you right now on a boat. And I was like, no way. And she's like, they love it. They love you. I mean, I think it's a go.
Yeah.
And I got off that phone. I was so stoked. And then they're like,
right.
Yeah, we're going to hold on it. Like 4 days later, it happened. Like, I don't know. I know.
Dude, I got flown to Charleston, South Carolina to do a show where they were going to have a group of four people go to these mom and pop grocery stores, right? And revamp the grocery store to help them compete with big name grocery stores. I was the prepared foods guy. I was like one of the four people. Flown to Charleston, South Carolina. I get there. They canceled it when I landed.
No way.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you fucking kidding me?
That's another thing we could talk about really quick is that the hustle and grind of this is depressing, and I can't imagine what it's like for actors and actresses who have to get, like, you know, the ejection all the time. And that's so now I have literally put myself into a place where I'm like, if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to stop putting myself out there, but it is not going to be my, like, end all be all, because, you know, if you love it and you want it, of course you want it. You want to keep going.
For sure.
I tell everybody, don't give up, man. Just keep doing it. If I,
well,
know,
the big
I
thing
made
is
Food Network Star was my second time.
You can't sit around and wait for them to call you. You can't wait for them to call you.
They will not.
You got to, you got to push and make them call you. And, you know, I found that, you know, making your own content is where it's at now because, you know, when you can pitch something all day long and I pitched a concept, FYI, I had a meeting with FYI, I pitched a concept. It was called, it was like 2 years ago now. Basically the whole idea was, I live in Newtown, the whole thing based off of Newtown. It was just about helping people because it changed my life. That's a whole story I'll get emotional about. But it was called Random Acts of Cooking. Random Acts of Cooking. And the idea was that as a chef, you kind of like travel the country like Kung Fu and you use food to help people, whether it's, you know, and in our sizzle that we shot, we had this homeless woman from Danbury and she worked in the kitchen at the homeless shelter she lived in. So basically the whole thing was I did a pop-up dinner with her. I taught her for 3 days how to cook. She made a menu. She executed a pop-up dinner. What she didn't know is that everyone that was at the pop-up dinner was a bunch of local businesses. And if she could execute it and pull it off, they would give her an interview. It's just to give her a chance at something to change her life. And she fucking ended up working at Williams Sonoma to be a manager. Well, no, here's the thing. Sounds great, right? And it's just using food. Like I couldn't use anything else but food. We did it.
Right.
And, you know, we shot the sizzle and that was all legit and real. And she ended up getting hired by Williams Sonoma. And now she's a manager and she's got her life together. It's amazing, right? Great story.
Yeah.
The network told me it was too earnest. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Dude, the network, all they want is big guys eating ginormous food and drunk girls talking about. I don't even watch that. It's never on my television anymore. Because, or it's just a repeat of the same thing. see the Chopped or right. Beat Bobby, which I love him and I judge it, which yeah. you know is awesome that I'm on the roster. But still, dude, seriously, something else, anything. And I miss
right.
that hand to pot cooking. I want to watch someone. I want someone to inspire yeah,
cook,
me and be like,
food.
Oh, I want to go to the store and like cook.
And
we're
live.
Like, even
remember that show was awesome.
What one? Emerald.
Emerald
remember
Live. That show
Mario,
was awesome.
Moto Mario?
Oh, this is a great show. A great show. And I'm a huge Jamie Oliver
great
mark.
Show.
I love Jamie Oliver. I'm a giant Jamie Oliver
yep.
fan. And Naked Chef was amazing. And I'm going to just toot my own horn. I was the first American to be featured on FoodTube. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. That's awesome.
But no, I mean, like,
yeah,
but you're right. Like shows like that, you know?
Yep. Why don't we teach anyone to cook anymore? It's a bunch of people just running around competing and kids now, right. No offense. I love the little kids, but come on.
Oh my God. I have a story. I would want to run by you, but it's either all of those things you're talking about, or it's, we're watching Vanilla Ice, the last members of TLC.
Oh yeah.
And like yep. Bill Bixby from the Incredible Hulk show in a cooking competition. I don't give a fuck. Like, stop
Hi,
it.
Or Hillary Duff or the, I know. Why are celebrities now all of a sudden they're stealing our shit?
I know,
they can't
right?
Get jobs.
I will,
One day,
I know.
I mean, geez. I was at Food and Wine in Miami, and Katherine Heigl was there, and I was like, you know, I love Izzy from Grey's Anatomy, but what are you doing on a food stage? You don't even know what you're talking about. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Right? They're taking our jobs. It's nuts. I love you, Izzy.
She was great as Izzy, but then if you bring up her as being Izzy, she won't talk to you anymore. She's like, fuck that show. I don't want to talk
yeah,
about
Yeah, right.
That.
That's it. Yep. I know. I love that show. The whole food TV, it's weird now, you know? Martha Stewart,
yeah, it is. Well, that's what you're seeing
the
change. You got to check out Taste Made. Yeah. It comes on Apple TV, Roku, all those things. Taste Made is amazing.
Okay,
I haven't
been on it, but if you like it?
Some of the stuff is rough. Some of it's very poorly shot, but some of it's really good. Yeah. And what I like it is it's another outlet, which I think is good.
So here's my thing. Oh, shit. I talked to you. Are
you there? Yeah, what happened? You sound like you fell underwater. Quick, somebody save Michelle. She's drowning.
Oh, shit. You fell. I have cable. Like, I am that cable girl that I know I need to get rid of. But I have Netflix and Hulu. I do not have Apple TV, which I think I need to get.
Right.
And my buddy is always telling me about Jason. And he's like, why aren't you on this? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know anybody there. I don't know. You know? I mean,
my connections are
like Food Network people. I know.
Right.
Like Mark Levine,
yeah.
who is the vice president, he comes into my restaurant constantly. And he's like, you want to do
awesome.
Our chef? And I'm like, yes. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, me too.
And all the time, but I'm never on. He says yes. And then I'm like, okay, well,
right.
come on. You know,
so
and then
I just made friends with Jamie Steyer. She is on the new Iron Chef. She's the new floor reporter for the new Iron Chef. So we judged a competition on Monday together. And she's super cool. And
That's awesome.
It's just a different world. Yeah, she's like, it's just a different world now. It's not the same. But here's what I'm saying. I love her. She was great. She was a food and travel blogger, but she also worked at ESPN. But now she's on the floor talking. Like, you know, it's not
right.
like a chef. And
right.
I think the world of chefs is definitely changing, you know?
Well, me too. And that's sad. I mean, I did that. I did some really stupid stuff. I'm kind of embarrassed that I did it. But my friend Penny made me do it. And what was it called? Farmers Market Flip. And I'm going to be honest with you. The only reason.
Wait,
the
I know
only
that.
Reason
Why
I,
know that show?
Yeah.
Slow down. Wait a minute. We're not going to slow leak over
no,
that
it's
slowly.
Cheating.
We got to talk about that. I know. So Farmers Market Flip. Where was that on? I know that. What show was that on? What channel?
It was on the cooking channel.
That's why I know. I can read that. All right, so go ahead. So you and Penny,
okay,
who
so,
I think is awesome too.
Yeah, Penny's awesome. So she's like, please do it with me. Come on. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So I go out there and do it because I think Lara Spence, is that her name, or Spencer, was going to be the host, and she was hot. So I was like, dude,
right.
she's hot.
Sure.
I'll do it. I like her. But she does this antique show thing. She's not a chef. And then when I get there, I'm like, this, where's Lara Spencer? That's the only reason I freaking came out here to do it. And
right,
it was
right.
this guy, Jeff Mahan, who is a real chef, who's actually very cool. And
which time out, slow down, time out, pause. Good
yeah.
buddy of mine, we run the taste together.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jeff. Jeff's a good buddy of mine. Which.
Oh. Jeff.
Small world.
Friends. Then I find out this is how small it is. He's a good buddy of my friend Jason Roberts, and I see them doing the
ride bikes together.
Bike ride. Yes.
Yeah.
So
I simplified it, but.
You did that whole thing. I actually need money for it because I was going to do it 2 years ago, but I get an MRI and the doctor, I have a bad back. And the doctor was like, you can't ride 300 miles. You're out of your mind. So I was like, so Jason's constantly like, please come ride. And I'm like, no, I'll raise money. I'll do whatever I have to do just to knock it on a bike with 300 miles. Although I could probably use it.
I told Jeff, he was like,
small.
It's amazing, right? Well, Jeff, like, he's like, Plum, you got to come ride a bike. I was like, dude, I am 6'3", 250 pounds. I am not riding a bike. I was like, I'll drive. Can I drive? That'd be awesome.
300 miles. I know. What do you drive?
Oh, my God. That was a random question. No, I'm not going to tell you that because then you're going to think less of me.
No, as you drive your Jeep. I'm always curious what chefs drive.
I drive a Prius, what? And I'm not going to lie because I travel tons. See? You can't be... Here, I thought we were making friends. All that shit's out the window now.
That's all right. We're friends. I'll take you in my badass Jeep and we can drive around.
That's what's up. See, here's the problem. So I travel so much from the Hamptons and driving like my whatever. I'm not going to get into the money I save in gas is more than my car payment. All right. There you go.
Right. I can imagine. You're right. You're smart and that's I'm right. not because my car sucks. But I'll just take that top off and just cruise around and I'm like, yep, life's good.
That's what's up. This whole thing just became a phone conversation of us just talking. Like, we just fell off the rails.
Dude, I know. We're totally like, whatever. We're going to hang out. This is going to be fun. I'm stoked for Mohegan. And is Brian
awesome.
Doing Mohegan?
Yeah, he'll be there.
Awesome.
He will definitely be there. He's like their guy. He's like their guy. So.
I mean, he's a really good guy. I love him.
No, he's so a horrendous human being, but I like him.
Oh, my God.
He's terrible.
So you do this
show. Just
look, I'm asking you all the questions. You do this show once a week, every Monday?
What's that? Monday? It just depends.
Your
so mine is we did 13 episodes, and we did a half an hour special for it, and then we take a little breather, and then we're coming back to do a quote season two of it. And basically what I do is just check it out. Go on Facebook, type in Restaurant Road Trip. You can see it. You can see how much of a douchebag I am when I talk. And but it's just for fun. You know, it's just for fun. And like, my whole reason behind it is because I'm a big proponent of just promoting chefs. And I think there's so many chefs that don't get a chance to get out there and say something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a theater major in college my first time around chefs. So like, I can run my mouth all day long. And Restaurant Road Trip is, it's the show like, you know, we're sandwiched between Boston and New York that we kind of get looked over here in Connecticut. So the whole point of it was to kind of showcase some cool restaurants and cool things that they're doing. And man, it just took off. It just blew up. I mean, there's no money involved in it, but like, I mean, so to speak, it's not like you're getting a ton of money for it, but it just blew up and it should be because of the way it's shot. Just I'm telling you, look at it. I'll send you a link if you want. It's we're really proud
of it. I'm looking at it right now. See, when we're here, I'm checking it out. Yeah, that's
awesome.
So I
produce it and write it and whatever, and Ryan's with me, and we have a great time.
That's amazing. That's super fun. I want to do it with you.
You should. We start shooting again. You got to come hang out.
I'll just come on one episode. Yeah, for sure.
Come on all of them. I don't care. Let's have a great time.
Okay. I'll come on all of them. I'll have a lot of fun talking. So look at it. I'm going to be like, hey, let's do it.
But again, just to go back to try to make it somewhat of a actual point to our conversation with this, it's my fault. I threw it off the rails. But, you know, when you do things like this and you want to get into doing work like that, you know, nobody came to me and said this. I wrote this up and pitched it. Like, I went to them.
Yep.
Like, I'm doing it to create a body of work. And that's just, you know, no one's going to come to you. You got to be willing to do the hustle. If you're willing to work for it, you can get it.
You're right. I mean, I was living in Asheville, North Carolina, and I've moved a lot, by the way. And finally, I just wanted to, you know, since I was a kid, I was kind of a ham, and I wanted to go to, like, the School of Performing Arts and live with my grandmother in Astoria. And that was my thing when I was, like, you know, five. And so I just was like, you know what? I'm a chef. I'm talented, and I want to be on TV. So I'm going to New York City, and I'm not going to leave until I make a name for myself. So it there was, you go. I lived in Brooklyn for 8 years, and wow. I probably did about 5-6 shows before I left New York. And then I was like, okay. And I knocked down the doors. Like, I was like, do you want me for this? I'm going to try out. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
Like, I was a runner-up for an alternate for Top Chef 2 seasons in a row. And oh, it was funny. You get the letter, like, you're on it. And if someone gets hurt, though, that was me. So, of course, nobody ever got hurt. And I think I shot, like, 15 seconds on one of them. And then I was like, all right, F Bravo, I'm going to Food Network. And then Food Network, yeah. I was a semifinalist. And then I had to go cook for Bob Blaine. He's like, you got to make me something with an egg in 9 minutes. And I was like, I just walked in there and I was like, I'm going to take your team and we're winning, me and you. And he was like, you're on my team.
Right.
And I made an Eggs Benedict in like 9 minutes. And I was funny. And I was just like really confident. And I was like, you know what? I'm just doing this. And I'm going to keep doing it. That's it.
Just being confident. It's half the battle.
You got to pick and choose. But I'm pretty confident. I want to do Iron Chef. I want to win. But I don't like
the new one.
We should
do it together.
I don't like the old gauntlet thing. I just want to. Yeah, let's do it.
We should just go there together and just run our mouths the entire time and just kick ass and just talk shit the entire time. We should just do that. So I did, I was like Cutthroat Kitchen last year. And you know how it works. And this is kind of pulling, we have been talking a long time. I'm sorry. I'm taking your whole night up. I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. No, it was fun.
They pulled me aside. You know how this goes. And they said, they're like, Plum, so the people on the show, they're not really giving us a whole lot. Would you mind living it up? And I was like, yeah. What do you guys want me to do? They said, well, could you just kind of like trash them a little bit? And I said, you want me to be the heel? And so, Chef, I spent some time as a pro wrestler when I was younger, right? And I was like, you want me to be the heel? And they were like, well, you know, I said, you want me to be the bad guy? And they're like, well, yeah, kind of. And I was like, hell yeah. And all I did, everybody up and down. It was ridiculous. And so I ended up, it had to make scotch eggs the first time. I ended up having to play golf with an egg. It killed 5 minutes of my time. Whatever. I went out the first round. Those things happen. You know, it's a fucking show. That's what it's about.
Yeah, of course.
But, dude, that first 35 minutes of the show is all me running my mouth. That's all it is.
Oh, my God. That's so good, awesome. Though. That's so good. That's fun. I'll tell you, the one thing about these shows I do that does get me is I'm like, this isn't how you really cook. And it does get me fired up because I really am really serious about my food. And I'm like, this isn't for real. After you get off Food Network, start doing other things. And like, you know, I did 4 Food Fighters and you know, NBC pays a lot of money. And now Adam Richman's my buddy. And like, it's so awesome. And then I go back to Comeback Kitchen and I'm like, you know, you run in the kitchen, you cook your food, you make it badass, that's all good and dandy, and then you go sit in a room for 5 hours by yourself. And
right,
I'm like,
right.
Are you kidding me right now? And then you go back out there, go in front of camera and do your 30-second speech, and I'm like, was that yesterday? When did I do that? Because you're so exhausted, you've been up all day, and oh, by the way, you cooked that 5 hours ago, and you're not hyped up anymore, so... It
right,
makes
and
it
I also
nice.
Love. I also I love the sure come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, and we'll do the voiceover for the show
tomorrow. Yeah, let's.
We're gonna voice over everything.
Oh, okay. That's so funny. Oh God, we can talk.
Well, check
hours.
It out. We could sit here and talk forever. And I sent you my cell. You have it. You should feel free to text me. We'll connect and continue this conversation at
Excellent.
Some point. But I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. You're awesome. And my goal was to come on here and make friends with you. And I think I did it. I think we did that, right?
Hell yeah, you definitely did it. And I appreciate you having me on your show. And look, I'm very excited. If I don't see you before Mohegan, which I think I might, we're going to have a killer time. Just be ready
to
win some money because I won like $1,500 last year.
What?
I then
That's awesome.
Spent it and lost 400 of my own. I didn't finish.
Well, that's not too bad.
I told you,
Campbell. You come out.
No, right. That's not bad. Gambling problem. You're going to be like, where's Michelle? And find me at the roulette table.
At the roulette table. As long as you're there and not like, you know, getting money from a bookie or something, then we got to, figure
right.
out. And then it becomes a movie.
There, and then I'll be like, ooh, shit, my demo's in 10 minutes. Run up on the demo, do my demo. And then I'm like, running through the crowd, gotta go back to the roulette table, then run up to my room, take a shower, another get celebrity dine around, cook all day, back out to the tables. My sous chef comes in all, from California, my old sous chef, and he does it with me every year. So I'm like, Jimmy, you got this? And he's like, yeah, chef, I got it. And I'm like, all right, I'll be at the tables.
That's
super
awesome.
Fun. It's so fun.
That's awesome.
I know.
Well, check out, you guys got to make sure you follow Michelle on Instagram at Chef. I'm trying to make sure I have it right. And of course, my phone just turned off on me. At Chef Michelle, right?
Chef Michelle. Yeah. With one L.
How'd you get that? Yeah. By the way, I want to show you. Like, I had to remake my picture like 9 times. So I kept putting 2 L's in it. I'm an asshole.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I know, right?
It's all right. Awesome.
But make sure you follow her. She's super cool. I'm glad we got the chance to talk tonight, and I really, truly appreciate your time. And I look forward to having some great times. And seriously, we should connect here because I can probably help you with some of that stuff, just with the whole digital thing.
Yeah.
I'm so used to doing it on my own.
Absolutely. I would love to. I just want to do things with you. You sound fun.
Well, dude, we have a great time, I promise.
Me and you. We're hanging. Yeah.
Let's do it. I'll come work the grill. Let me know.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
It was super fun. You're awesome. I appreciate your time, Chef, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
Take care. There she goes, guys. My new friend, Chef Michelle, she's awesome. I appreciate her time tonight. It's just funny when it comes down to you get someone who's done the same TV kind of spiel you've done. You just end up going towards that because it's such a weird world to be a part of or be in or see. And so you just want to talk about it nonstop. But she's a great chef. Make sure you check out the Crown and Anchor Central House at Crown and Anchor. There we go. Make sure you check that out. The place looks great, and who knows what we'll see her as we move forward, but definitely looking forward to have. We'll have to have her on again for just a roundtable when we have some chefs on. I think she'd be great. She is definitely a Ask a Female Chef. Michelle's great and happy to have her. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, please excuse my cough. You can follow me on Twitter at Chef_Plum, and of course on Instagram at Chef_Plum. And we will be back next week on the Monday doing our show. And of course, we're going to be doing the event. Don't forget, next Saturday night happening at Ergo Chef Knives, the Ergo Chef Knives Warehouse. We're going to have a great time there. We have Chef John Brennan and Chef Carol Cody going head to head in basically a Stanley Kubrick movie meets Iron Chef. It's going to be a great time. Beer and wine and pizza are included. Unlimited open bar for the entire duration of the event. $50 a ticket. It's for a great charity. You're exceptional part of the Trained Service Dogs. And make sure you check that out, guys. It's going to be awesome. You can find the link on my Facebook page at Chef Plum. That was all one breath. That was all one freaking breath right there. Big shout out to Michelle Ragusas for coming on here. She's awesome. Great time having conversations with her. And I guess that's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I guess that's it. We'll be back here next week. Make sure you please rate, review, and subscribe on them iTunes. It's a big deal for all of us. It helps us be on the show tremendously. Please, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next time. Peace! I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.